Open with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. Indeed. But that's not even the geeky part yet. Hebrews, chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that are visible. Now, there in the word, in verse 3, it says worlds. The Hebrew word there, or the Greek word there, is aeon, or aeon, which means ages. Okay, so let's read it that way. By faith, we understand that the aeons, or the what that means is time, passages of time, okay? Time and everything in it was framed by the word of God. The word of God. Last week we talked about seeds. Remember last week? What are seeds? According to Jesus from John chapter, from Mark chapter 4, seed is the word. The seed is the word. The word of God was sown into what didn't exist. And that just what it said? God sowed his seed into the invisible by speaking. He sowed his seed. He sowed his word into the invisible so that we understand that the things that we can see, like this table, is made of things that cannot be seen. The table, the world, the building is made of things that cannot be seen. Here's where we get a little geeky. Quantum physics has this thing called quarks. Quarks are subatomic, and they're not visible, but they can be watched. That's part of the reason that they have the Higgs boson collider, because they use light, and they're penetrating sound, and they're getting sound wave. Sound, like Doppler, okay? Anybody ever have or know somebody who had an ultrasound? Those are ultrasound, sound waves. So we have the sound wave, and the sound wave reveals not just that there's something there, but what it is. Fishing. If you've been out fishing on a fishing boat, and they have the little Doppler device, that you can watch down beneath your boat. Can you see sound waves? No, you can't. But the sound waves bounce off of things and reveal what's there. When Kathy was pregnant, ultrasounds would reveal how long a child was, how long Faith was, or how long Josiah was, how they could measure the circumference of their head using sound waves. They could tell that the head was a certain shape. With Faith, they were looking, with Josiah, they were looking, because Faith didn't stay in that long. She needed to come out 15 weeks early. But Josiah, they're looking, and they can tell through an ultrasound if your child has Down syndrome based on fat buildup behind on the back of the neck. We didn't know that either. But all of this can be done using sound waves, Doppler. The Hubble telescope uses visual and sound. So they can send sound waves out through the Hubble telescope, and they can see sound reflected back as it hits something and tell you how big certain planets are that are out in the solar system. It's the same thing. It's sound. All things are created by God in his word by things that are not seen. Do you know the first place I heard that? Kenneth Copeland. I told you. I had lunch with Debbie a couple weeks ago, and she says, you know, I was watching these two ladies on TV, and they were talking about this prophecy from this Kenneth somebody. And I said, two ladies? I said, was one blonde and one brunette? And she said, yeah. I said, oh, Billy Brim and Gloria Copeland. And she says, yes, that's right, that's them. She says, is it okay that I'm watching them? I said, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All things that are seen are made from things that aren't seen, okay? Mark chapter 11. This deals with words. Brother Hagin was born, and he was born premature, and at the time, premature babies didn't have much of a chance of making it, and he had a lot of problems. I mean, first of all, he had an incurable blood disease. He had a weak heart. And by the time he was 17, he was completely bedridden. And the doctors were just waiting for him to die. And he'd have preachers come over and pastors come over, and they'd just pray that, you know, some little unbiblical prayer about, well, when you die. And he said, well, how do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And he wasn't even sure he was saved. But he got into the Bible, and he was reading, and he said it was really hard for him just to turn the pages in the Bible. That's how weak his body was. And, you know, pastors would come by and say, well, you know, he'd say, well, can I get healed? Can God heal me of this? Yes, he can, but, you know, you just never know with God who's going to get healed and who's not going to get healed. And come on. And this is what they told him. And he got into Mark chapter 11, and he got over here. Mark chapter 11, verses 23 through 24. Well, verse 22. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say, if your Bible has red letter edition, this is Jesus talking. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. Jesus appeared to him in a vision in his room. He said, well, if healing has passed away, has faith. It takes faith. Without faith, you can't be saved, can you? No. And the prayer of faith will save, right? Right. Have faith. And he said, well, no. Faith hasn't passed away. He said, well, read that again. So he read it again. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. What was his mountain? An incurable blood disease, a weak heart. In the meantime, his grandmother tried to come into the room. And do you know that she couldn't? She opened the door and she tried to walk in and she couldn't. She tried to walk in and she'd be pushed back out. You know, in 2 Chronicles, when the temple is being dedicated, it says the priest couldn't enter the temple because of the glory of God. They couldn't enter in. The glory of God was so thick, the priest couldn't get into the temple. The glory of God was so thick in Brother Hagin's room, his grandmother couldn't get in. When I was in Teen Challenge, they would have, every night was prayer at 6 o'clock. Dinner was at 5, prayer was at 6. They put us on a schedule. I was not good with schedules. I still rebel against schedules. Okay? But we'd go into that prayer chapel, and I'm telling you, it was thick in there. You could see the glory of God in that place. No different than when in Azusa Street, when children are playing with the glory on the floor, and this is, they told me their stories. It's a book that follows the stories and details of the events of Azusa Street, right down to a man who'd had his arm cut off from the elbow in a Columbine. Went in, and some people prayed for him, laid hands on him, and while they were praying for him, he stretched out his arm, and they could see the bone growing with muscle and tendons and the vessels growing in and the flesh filling in behind it until he had a brand new hand and arm. Listen, if you have a mountain, what do? You speak to it. I got a mountain. Debbie's got a mountain. She's got a mountain of the IRS, and she's got a mountain of the EDD. She just keeps trusting God for it. Did everything turn out all right instantaneously? No, but she's watching that mountain fall into the sea, aren't you, sweetheart? Come on. They told us Faith was going to die. They said, this is it. She's not going to make it through the night. Oh, no. We were whosoever's, weren't we? Because it doesn't say if the pastor believes this. It doesn't say if Billy Graham believes it. It doesn't say if Catherine Kuhlman believes it. And everybody who loves Catherine Kuhlman just went inside just like that. Right? It's not just for me or for someone who, you know, we always say, you know, because we always like to think, you know, the parents had their favorite child. We don't want to think that. But sometimes, you know, you have a kid that you get along with better some days, and some days you get a bit along, you know, the little bit of the back and forth of favor. You know, that doesn't work with all with God. No. He's unchanging. That's right. You're his favorite. I'm his favorite. That's right. Jesus is his favorite. Yeah. And if Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Well, how does that play into the quirks? Your words. Right. Your confession. Come on. Your words, your confession. Hebrews chapter 4. I get to get there faster because I know where I'm going. And I have little tabs that I put in. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his, the word. We're talking about the word, right? Jesus is the word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And there is no creature hidden from his, the word's sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed from through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, hold fast to your confession. What's your confession? Do you have a confession? We started at the beginning of the year talking about expectations. Your expectations, when spoken, become your confession for your life. Our confession was she was going to live and not die. Quite clearly, she's alive and not paying attention. Busy playing with the chair. It's okay, baby. He's the high priest watching over your confession. What are you confessing about yourself? My dad, he had, what was it? Was the pancreas or... Prostate. Isn't prostrate when you're like down, or is that prostate? I don't know. It's like dessert and sweet and sweat. You know what I'm saying? It was prostrate. But he just kept confessing and believing that he was going to be okay, that there was no problem with it. Oh, that was the ear. The prostrate was at the Benny Hinn crusade, huh? Went in with prostrate problems, left without. But his was his expectation when he went there to be healed. And that was his confession. When I go, I just know that God's going to touch me and I'm going to be healed. And then with his ear, he believed for that, right? Listen, I would get these horrible migraines and I'd just go out into the living room and I'd say, thank you, God, that you took my pain. Thank you that you took my pain. And the pain would slowly start to dismiss. It'd start to go away. It'd start to leave until it was all gone. And I was just out there confessing. I mean, if you're going to be in pain, you have two choices. You can sit and whine and cry about it. Oh, it hurts so bad. Because I do that sometimes too, just to be honest with you. You know, when I slid down the stairs on my back, I did a little bit of whining and complaining. I was actually really terrified. I made Kathy stand me up. I'm like, okay, am I okay? Is anything broken? I'm like, you know, my first response is not always the right response. And sometimes I just, you know, sometimes you just want to go with it, you know? And so then you just go with it. But whose choice is it? It's mine. It's my choice. Whose choice is it with you? It's your choice. It's yours. It's like salvation. I can't make you get saved. I can't make somebody get filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, right? Or prophesying, right? Or having words of wisdom, words of knowledge. I can't make anybody do that. If I could, I'd be a manipulator. I'd be a witch, telling people what to think, telling them how to be. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Let us hold fast our confession. Thursday night, we were here and we were praying. And if you've never been and you're curious about it, we've been talking about covenant. And that's interesting. It's okay, right? But what's really fun is praying. What's really fun is prayer. And this week, as we're praying, I hooked up with Faye over here, and we were praying together in the Spirit. And I knew that she was getting something. So afterwards, I said, what'd you get? And what did you get? Stay. Stay fast. Stay fast. We are to stay fast and hold fast the confession of our faith. I believe I'm saved. I believe I'm going to heaven. I believe that by his stripes on his back, I was healed. I believe that the blessings of the Lord come upon me and overtake me according to Scripture. Yes. I don't have to chase after them. Did you know that if you're chasing after the blessings, that makes you a lover of money? Yeah, because most of the blessings have to do with financial process. Blessed in the house, blessed in the field, right? Blessed inside, blessed outside. He's going to bless your barn. He's going to bless your animals. Well, in an agrarian society, that all has to do with your prosperity. If you didn't have any animals and you didn't have any grain, you didn't have nothing, right? So you go out and buy some ducks. Dana posted the cutest video of this little duck swimming in a sink. It was so cute. She says, now I guess I might have to get some ducks. It was so cute. Okay, Hebrews 11:3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were made from the things that are invisible. Do you believe that? We have to believe that. If that's what God said, and he's using actual process, right? John chapter 14. Turn with me to John chapter 14. Oh, there's so much scripture to turn to today. Oh, you should see some of my notes. I spend so much time in the Bible during the week and then studying during the week. And then I have to get really quiet for a long time to hear from God what I'm supposed to preach about, because I could preach on just almost anything. I could get up here and talk for hours. Everybody's like, oh, please don't. You know what I long for? I long for the day when you can go and you can sit in a room and you've been sitting there so long you fall asleep and fall out of the window and have to be raised from the dead. I'm telling you, right? Come on. That's a good day. You know, I mean, you're there honoring. You're doing what Jesus said was the most important thing, which is sitting and listening under the word of God, right? Martha, 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 you worry about so many things. Mary's done the one thing that's important. She was sitting listening. John chapter 14, Verse 12, oh, here he is again saying, most assuredly. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will send you another helper, give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Again, verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works because I go to my Father. Do we believe that? Do you need to cast a mountain into the sea, a physical mountain? Then don't try to do it. But greater works than he did. Verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come with him and into him and make our home with him. Jesus, in this passage, is equating the work that he's doing as being a doer of his word. The works that I do, you also will do if you keep my word, if you follow my word. His word is seed. Now, I'm looking for something specific, and give me just a second here. Give me a minute. There's something here. Okay, verse 9. Have I been with you so long, and yet you don't know me, Philip? He who has seen the Father, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So you now say, show us the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words... Okay, here we go. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. What causes the works? The words I speak to you do not come from me. They come from the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father, in the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. It's the Word of God, going back to the geeky thing, the Word of God, when we speak God's Word, God says in Isaiah 58 that His Word will not return void to Him, but it will go and it will accomplish that thing that he set it forth to do. When he says, by his stripes you were healed, if you'll confess it, if you'll say it, if you'll believe it, if you'll stand in it, you're going to get it. How did you get saved? Yes, I confess Jesus is Lord. You made confession. For with the mouth, confession is made. Romans 10. Verse 8 of chapter 10 of Romans. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How did you receive salvation? You confessed it. You believed it in your heart. In your heart, you believed that Jesus Christ was Lord. As a result, you confessed it. The first time you looked at your honey and you realized, I love you. And you said, I love you. Come on. Thank you. It was in your heart before it was out of your mouth. It was in your heart before it was out of your mouth. You believed it in your heart. You knew that it was true. When it came to salvation, you believed it in your heart. You knew that it was true. You knew that it was true. And you said, I confess, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. And you knew at that moment, because you felt different, didn't you? Something happened on the inside when you did it. It changed. Your confession changed. Our confession, according to Paul, our confession is what translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Another interesting geeky fact. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If you were able to travel at the speed of light, your mass would become so dense that you would cease to exist in the material plane. You would be existing everywhere, at all time, beginning and end. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. God is light. You could say that God lives at the speed of light. God speaks at the speed of sound. His words affect the natural realm. If we are made in his image and in his likeness, then we are now living in the kingdom of light. We don't necessarily see it all yet. Now we see dimly, but then we shall see face to face, and then we shall know even as we are known. We're destined for glory. We're destined to live in the light. John said, if you're in the light, walk in the light, as he is in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light of the knowledge and revelation of who you are. We are to stop living like mere mortal men, walking on earth, just dragging around this corpse. Jesus, when he came back and he saw his disciples, he looked the same, but he didn't. They didn't recognize him at first. But he come walking through the walls. Walking through walls. Come on. Walk. Even before he was transformed and had his new body, he walked on water. That's a little bit of breaking the laws of physics. Come on. Philip was walking, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, and he heard him preaching, reading from the book of Isaiah, where it was written what we read this morning. And Philip said to him, do you know what you're reading? He says, no, sir, I don't. He said, well, here, let me explain it to you. It's all about Jesus. Amen. It's all about Jesus. Let me explain it to you. He got saved right there. And baptized right there. And then Philip was 30 miles away. Just like that. He was translated. Didn't even have his glorified body yet. Come on. Greater works than these will you do, because I go to my Father who is in heaven. Amen? It's our words. What is your confession? What are we believing for, right? What are we expecting? We're expecting good reports from the doctor, right? We're expecting all of our needs met according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's my expectation. Do you know my expectation? I got a lot of expectation here. Yes. I mean, my expectation here is bursting at the seams. Some days I can hardly contain myself for what I can see in the Spirit. Man, God's got great things planned for us. We are living in the end times. Amen. The former and the latter rain will come together for an end time harvest for God. That's prophesied in Scripture. The early rain, the day of Pentecost, the latter rain, Azusa Street. There's not time for 2,000 more years. Israel's already been born again, a nation, and the people that see that happen, that generation will by no means pass away, but they will see the sun return. Amen. Come on. Glory to God. We are living in the times where we should start expecting to see these kinds of things happen. Amen. We should start expecting. I expect. Man, I expect. Do you expect? I expect. Do you expect? I'm expecting. Are you expecting? I mean, just like if you're pregnant and you know there's a baby in there, you know you're expecting. You know that pretty soon you're going to give birth. Come on, we're the church of the glorious risen Lord Jesus Christ. We should be expecting. We should be expecting great things. I expect to see arms grow back. I expect to see the dead rise. I expect to see incurable diseases cured. Come on, I expect that here. Amen. I expect it here. Amen. I expect debts canceled. Amen. You know, it's the curse to be in debt. Yes, it is. It is. It's the curse to be in debt. It's the curse not to have the fullness of God. It's the curse not to walk in a victorious life. It's the blessing. Here, Psalm 103, and then we'll close. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. For he forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good thing, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Hallelujah. We should be living in strength and victory. We shouldn't be going, oh, it's, you know, and it's funny to say, you know, I remember the days when I could get out of bed and everything didn't creak. Well, let's stop saying that. These are the days that I get out of bed and everything doesn't creak. These are the best days of my life. These are my days. I get to decide how I live my days according to his word. I don't have to live it the way the world does. Come on, if we're just living life the same way the world does, where's the testimony? Where's the IRS gave me money back? For the first time in my entire life, I've had normal blood work. Where's the, she was supposed to die, they gave her a death sentence. Come on. We got a better opportunity. I don't want to live like the world. No more living like the world. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, you believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word as seed planted in our hearts. We thank you. According to Hebrews 11:6, by faith we please you. We are pleasing to you by faith. And we are pleasing you by walking in faith. We are pleasing to you. We actually are giving you glory by receiving whatsoever things we desire when we pray. Jesus said it, Father. He said, it glorifies you that we ask and receive. Because when we ask and we receive, we know exactly who to give the glory to. So, Father, I just ask right now for increased signs, wonders, and healings and miracles, for the blessing to overflow and overtake us and to come upon us and just overflow and overfill our lives. If you agree with that right now, raise your hand and say, I agree. I agree in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Give him some praise today. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We worship you. We glorify you. We glorify you, Lord. We worship you. Oh, we thank you, Father, that you give us all things, all good things, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We glorify you. We glorify you today, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, the Bible says the fruit of your lips giving praise. Praise him with your own mouth this morning. Hallelujah. We worship you. We praise you. We glorify you today, Father. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for your spirit. Oh, we thank you for healing us and restoring us and giving us abundance of life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you happy today? Come on. Come on. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Did you know that's what it is? The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, go in the kingdom of God. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.